Good morning, church. Scripture reading today will come from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. The story of the planter. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. And the scripture reads, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Large crowds gathered around him, so he got into a boat and sat down while the people stood on the shore. Then Jesus used stories to teach them many things. He said, a farmer went out to plant his seed. While he was planting, some seed fell by the road, and the birds came and ate it all up. Some seeds fell on rocky ground where there wasn't much dirt. That seed grew very fast because the ground was not deep. But when the sun rose, the plants dried up because they did not have deep roots. Some other seed fell among thorny weeds, which grew and choked the good plants. Some other seed fell on good ground where it grew and produced a crop. Some plants made 100 times more, some made 60 times more, some made 30 times more. Let those with ears use them and listen."
Good morning. Church, say amen again. It's good to see you. Seems like we've been apart for a little bit. And I'm certainly thankful to be back. And I appreciate all the prayers that went up on my behalf. And certainly good to be here and to return safely. We are delighted always to have visitors. If you're visiting with us here at the Newport News Church of Christ, you are an honored guest of ours, and we appreciate so much you taking the time. I know you could have been other places, you could have been anywhere, but you decided to be with us, and we don't take that lightly. We are thankful, and we appreciate it so very much. We want to make sure that you feel like you're a stranger, but one time, once you come here, we want to recognize you and make sure that you are greeted in a wonderful fashion. We hope you will come back, and we certainly hope you will give us an opportunity if there's any questions that you have regarding anything you hear, anything you know of the Church of Christ, anything you've heard of the Church of Christ, and anything you see us do. We would love it if you would give us an opportunity to answer any questions you may have. Our greatest concern for you is that you come to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. You respond to it in the way they did in the Bible, and you become a New Testament Christian. And that's our hope. That's our aim. And we certainly would love for that to be the case for you. And even today, we always, at the end of a sermon, extend an invitation song, is what we call it. That song after my sermon is an invitation song inviting you to come. I'll be standing there, and Brother Darvin will go come up with me at that time. He'll be standing on the other side there, and if you need to respond, come up to either one of us, and we will assist you in making sure we take care of your spiritual need. I'm always delighted to have Brother Cameron Freeman is with us this morning. And you all know I've told you his story. I told you our connection and all those wonderful things. And you know he was here with us last year with Brother Eric Garner. And they did our gospel seminar. Did an outstanding job. Showed you two men that if something should ever happen to me, you ought to just not even hesitate. Go find one of them and get them over here. You would do well to do that. Cameron is going to preach for us this afternoon, so I hope that if you're here, you won't leave. You'll be treated to a wonderful gospel preacher. So I hope you stay on and listen to Cameron at the 1:30 service. I can say a lot of things about Cameron, but one thing I can say about this: there are times when young ministers of the gospel are getting in for sometimes the wrong reason. But what you do is you find out when you get into gospel preaching, you find out that it comes with a price, comes with a cost. And I can faithfully say, in working with Cameron and watching Cameron over the years, he's dealt with the things that comes with gospel preaching. And he's dealt with the challenges and difficult situations, and he stood up to those situations. He did not waver when it came to the gospel. And he's had to move several times because of the stance he takes for the truth. So we appreciate him so much for being that kind of a gospel preacher. And that's a brother that'll stand up so we can trust him. We can depend on him. And we just appreciate him. His wonderful and lovely wife, Layla, is here with him as well. And she is actually from the congregation where I preached in Rockford, Illinois. And that's where they met when I had Cameron come up to do an internship with me. So wonderful to have them here with us. Now, I've got to get off of Cameron and get on to this. This sermon this morning, we're not going to finish it. We're going to just start it. I'm going to basically introduce it to you this morning. And it is the sermon that we call the sermon of the sower, or the Jesus is planting, and he is trying to get people to understand and respond to the gospel. And we're talking about it this morning from the vantage point of what kind of soil are you? What kind of soil are you? Do you even know what kind of soil you are? You ought to be thinking about that as I'm presenting this material, because it's going to be vitally important to you. So if you never paid attention to a sermon in your life, I would suggest you start today. Amen. Paying attention and applying some things to yourself. Get your hearts and mind off me and off others, and get your minds on yourself, because that's what it takes when you're going to become what God wants you to become. So let me show you some things about Jesus. If you have your Bibles, look with me, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, let's introduce this. Because one thing that Jesus was about during his personal ministry is he was about the business of preaching the kingdom of God. The sad thing about it is he did not always find a receptive audience. And certainly preachers can relate to that today. You don't always find a receptive audience. You know, I don't know. You know from your own heart. I don't know what you think of me. Now, I'm going to share this with you, and maybe some don't like it. I don't really care. However, that's neither here nor there. I can't afford to care, and that's why I don't care. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm simply saying the moment I start trying to worry about what someone thinks about me and how someone feels about me and the way I phrase things or the way I say things or, you know, the way I preach, whether you consider it positive or negative or ho-hum, whatever, the moment I start to consider that, I need to get out of the pulpit. What I need to do is do the best I can do. Do the best I can do to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you decide what you're going to do with your heart. The problem is that when people start to think about me and they start to think about me and consider me in a certain way, it affects the message. And that's the problem. But you're going to find that that's not new. Look at Matthew chapter 11 and notice verses 20 through 24. Matthew chapter 11 and verses 20 through 24. I'm going to need a reader, brethren. Listen, that's good enough. Jesus, even when he preached the word and confirmed it with mighty works, miracles, people still did not repent. Now, I'm going to just go ahead and let you know that I don't have any mighty works that I can perform. But Jesus did. And even when he substantiated his doctrine, even when he confirmed his word, his message, even when he showed that he was truly a man from God, listen, people have not changed. They still did not repent, which led him to upbraid them or chide with them or reproach them because of it. Now notice with me in Matthew chapter 12. Some folks would even try to trick or deceive our Lord in order to accuse him. Look at this instance in Matthew chapter 12 and look at verses 9 through 14.
Saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him?
Now, I always encourage that you should read all the accounts regarding this matter, because some of them are going to bring out some different things. But you will notice, and if you looked at Mark's account, Mark is going to say that Jesus looked on them because of the hardness of their hearts. He couldn't believe how hardened they were, even when an opportunity to heal an individual with a withered hand, and yet their hearts were so hardened that Jesus became angry with them, incensed with them because of their hearts. Keep reading, if you will. Have you ever tried to appeal to someone logically? You try to tell them something, you know, you see they got the wrong idea, you see they got the wrong attitude, you see that the motives and hearts are in the wrong place, and you try to help them to appreciate, you know, where things are. You help them appreciate what's right. And yet, no matter what you say, no matter how logical, no matter how much sense it makes, no matter how true it is, they continue with where they were. And you feel like you just wasted a great deal of time. Amen. Sat here, just explained everything to you, and you still got the same attitude, the same heart, the same disposition. You know, you would have thought that you would have changed, because we thought when I tried to explain it to you, I thought your problem was you just lacked information. I thought you just would be a person who said, well, you know, I never saw it that way, and now that I understand it that way, you know, I will change immediately because I get it now. That's what we're thinking when we give you the information. We have no idea that no matter what we say, no matter how logical, no matter how true, you're going to continue in the same type of thinking, the same disposition, the same hardness of heart. Well, those are the kind of individual Jesus was dealing with. So even when Jesus would have to tell them, look, the Sabbath day wasn't made for man, or rather, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Man is more important. And so if I got the Sabbath day here and I got a man with a withered hand, wouldn't it be always good to do good and to heal this man on the Sabbath day? You would think, well, you know what? You know, you're right. And then I'll give you an example. If you all had an ox and it fell into a hole on the Sabbath day, wouldn't you, for compassion for the ox and for your livelihood, reach down in there, not feel like you're breaking the Sabbath day, but to deliver that ox from the pain and from the situation or from the difficulties that it found itself in? You would lift up that ox. Now, how much greater is a man than an ox? Amen. Now, isn't that logical? Amen. Isn't that something we all can agree upon? Amen. And yet they still kept the same hardness of heart. Now, as we move forward, it is these kind of situations that prompts what you find in Matthew chapter 13. It's not that Jesus had never spoken in parables, but this is the first time it's actually being mentioned as a parable. And so when you get into Matthew 13, now go to Matthew chapter 13, and let's look at verse number 10 through 13. To them it is not given. To whom? To the very kind of people that we've been talking about, that the Lord has been encountering in his earthly ministry. Individuals who will see Jesus confirm his words with mighty works and still will not repent, to the point where he has to chide with them and upbraid them. He has to chastise them for their unbelief and for their hardness of heart. The same kind of individuals that will understand that, yes, I would go into that pit and get an ox, but because I'm trying to catch you up in something, I don't care. I know that man is important. I know he's more important than an ox, but I'm still going to keep my same disposition, my same heart as a heart, and I'm still going to find a way to accuse you if you heal this man on the Sabbath day. And yes, I know that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, but even though I know all of that, I just want to be stupid. I just want to be a fool, and I just want to catch you up in anything I can, because that's who I am, that's who I've decided to be, and nothing you say is going to change it. There are some folks that are like that today. Amen. I can talk up here till I'm blue in the face. When you've made up your mind, nothing's going to change. You're going to have to decide what kind of soil are you, because these are the kind of folks that our Lord was having to deal with. So he explains to his disciples
another reason why he was doing this. Look at Matthew chapter 13, I'm sorry, verse 34 and verse number 35. So he's going to speak to them in parables because he's going to fulfill prophecy, Psalm 78:2. He's going to fulfill prophecy. And not only that, he's going to reveal it to those who want it, and to those who don't want it, he's going to hide it. If you don't want the word of God, my friends, you don't deserve it. Amen. And there's no point in us trying to force feed it to you. Amen. You don't want it, you don't want it. And it's just as simple as that. Now, the word parable is a compound word meaning to throw alongside. It is an illustration to use a known truth and cast it alongside an unknown truth. Some say it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The problem Jesus was facing is the one that we are still facing today, that many people have ears to hear, but they simply do not use them. They have become hard of hearing. Look at Matthew 13 and look at verse 14 and verse number 15. Matthew 13, 14, and 15.
Yeah. And in them is fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah.
Uh-huh.
Which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive.
Uh-huh.
For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing.
Listen to what he's saying. Ears are dull of hearing, and what?
And their eyes have closed.
And the eyes they have closed. Y'all remember when we used to do stuff like this? I can't hear you. You know, as kids, we were children. We should have outgrew those things. But when somebody would be talking to you, you weren't hearing you. You plug your ears and you would yell out and you would all this kind of stuff. And you like, I can't hear what you're saying, stuff like that. Well, that's the attitude. It's a literal attitude. We did it as children sometimes when we were trying to let a person know, I don't want to hear anything coming out of your mouth. But now people are doing it as adults, and even though we don't do it with the gestures, yet we're doing it in our hearts. You talk, but I'm not going to listen. Well, Jesus was dealing with those kinds of people. So now we got Jesus starting to do more speaking in parables so that when people are like this, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Jesus can say, you don't deserve to hear what I'm going to say, so I'm going to hide the meaning from you so you won't get it. And then damn you to hell in the end for not getting it. Why? Not because I just wanted to condemn you, but because you decided to condemn yourself for the type of hearer and the type of heart that you possess. This is why this is an important sermon, not because I'm preaching it, but because, my friends, it's in the book. And you have to decide this for yourself. Now, so we're talking about the parable of the sower, the parable of the four soils, the parable of the seed. And we're answering the question, what kind of soil are you? Now, there's four soils represented. Now, you start thinking about those four soils. Now, one soil is not even going to come. One soil is just not going to answer the call. And then you got three other soils. And all three of those soils are going to come. So you might say, well, Brother Israel, I must be a good soil because I came. No, that don't mean that. Three soils are going to come, and two soils are going to stay. So one soil is going to fall away, so you have to ask yourself right now, where am I? Where am I in relation to God, to Christ, to his church? Am I the type of individual that I am rooted and grounded and nothing will shake me, nothing will take me away? I'm here for the long haul. Or am I wavering? Am I fickle? Am I up and down? Am I almost out the door? Because at some point we see some of y'all and you're here, but then you're gone. We see some that are here for a couple of months and then they're gone for a couple of months. Where are you? What's going on? You might be that type of soil that's really not going to stay. You got two soils that stay. Now, one soil It's going to stay, but it's never going to produce anything. It's going to be unproductive. Now, that's going to be largely a lot of your people in your congregations. You're going to have a lot of folks. That's why we talk about things like you got the many folks that do nothing, and you got the few folks that do it all, and you got the few to do the work of many, all that kind of stuff. Why? Because we got two different kinds of soils that always remain. One is good, and one is unproductive. One is not going to ever become what they need to become. They're not going to ever do what they need to do. They're not going to ever really grow, but they are going to fill this pew. Amen. Which one are you? You have to decide. I can't decide that for you, nor would I. Not my responsibility to decide that for you. It's your responsibility to check yourself to see what kind of soil you are and then do something about it before it's too late. Amen. So let's look at the problem. The problem, or rather the parable, was told by Jesus to illustrate different reactions to the gospel message. The problem, though, was not in the sower. Question. What do you think about Jesus? What do you know about Jesus? And what do you think about Jesus? Does your knowledge of Jesus have you believing him to be God? Is he deity when you think about it? Amen. Was he with God in the beginning? Is he the creator of all things? As the scriptures teach, is that your belief of him, understanding of him? Has he always existed in eternity? Did he get off his throne, come down here, and robe himself in flesh, take on a body like you and I, for the purpose of suffering for mankind, and then went through a cruel situation that led to his death, where he died on the cross, buried, and rose again the third day? And did he ascend back into heaven right in front of the eyes of the disciples? And did he send the Holy Spirit to reveal unto us the word of God? Is he now sitting there in heaven on the right hand of God, the majesty on high? Is he now in control and authority of all things? Is that what you understand of Jesus? And is he equal to the Father in his Godhood? Amen. Is that what you believe about Jesus? When he was here on earth and he was robed in the flesh, did he ever make one singletary mistake?
No.
Did he ever sin?
No.
We all in agreement. At least those who responded to some who may have not responded audibly, obviously, you may feel the same way. But when he was here, those folks found something wrong. They found something amiss with our Lord. They found things wherein they would accuse him. He was a drunkard. He was a wine bibber. He was a friend of harlots and publicans and all these kind of things. He was a glutton man, given over to his appetite and all those kind of things. Is that our Lord? Yet the individuals who did not like his message did not like him. They found something wrong with our Lord so that they could then, my friends, not receive the message. So what's the point then? Jesus says a sower went out to sow, and the sower is Christ. But why wasn't he more successful in all those areas where he sowed his seed? I tell you why. Because they found something wrong with him. You know what you do when you find something wrong with someone. You don't have to hear anything they have to say.
Amen.
When Jesus uses this parable, what he's showing us is there's nothing wrong with the sower. Men didn't receive the message because they felt like something was amiss with him. But not only that, they found there was something wrong with his disciples. Jesus sent out his disciples. Wait a minute. One might say, well, you know what? And listen, okay, I grant you Jesus is perfect, but not those disciples. Okay, but you didn't accept Jesus in his perfection. So what difference does it really make? What did he do? He sent the disciples out with the same message that he was teaching. And guess what man did? Found something wrong with him. Found something wrong with them, rather. Why? so they wouldn't have to receive the message. Jesus was perfect. The Father said he was perfect. Paul said he was perfect. Peter said he was perfect. John said he was perfect. All of them were there. All of them said he was perfect. And man found something wrong with him, so they wouldn't receive his message. He sent the disciples out. Now, Jesus knew they were imperfect, and yet he sent them out anyway. Why do you think he did that? Because the message was perfect. Yeah. But you're going to get out there and get caught up on the disciples. Gospel ministers went out. Didn't he know they weren't perfect? Absolutely. But they had something that found something wrong with the Apostle Paul and other gospel ministers such as that. Some of them didn't like the way Paul speak, just like sometimes folk don't like the way I speak. I get it. I understand. But they didn't like the way Paul spoke. And so now Paul says to the Galatian brethren, in chapter 4, verse number 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Some thought Paul was a little bit too hard. I'll tell you what, I might be tough. I might be firm. But I ain't tough as Jesus and Paul. If we can't handle my preaching, then Jesus and Paul better never step foot in this place with the kind of preaching they would have done. Because Jesus would have been able to pierce right through our hearts and tell us what was wrong with us. And he wouldn't have hesitated to do it. Matthew 23 is one of the most scathing discourses that you could ever teach. In fact, I haven't saw a preacher yet that will repeat it. I've never yet called a man a hypocrite to his face, or a whole audience of people hypocrites to their face, while I'm denouncing them and I'm opening up to them or accusing them before other people. I've never yet done that. I might know you're a hypocrite, but I'm not going to tell you to your face. And I'm not going to talk behind your back either. I'm just saying I'm going to try to find a different way to deal with you. But our Lord would have said it directly to you. And that's the way he was. The problem was not with the sower. It is not a new thing that people don't want to receive the message. And it's not new that when they don't want to receive the message, they're going to find a problem with the messenger. Gospel preachers have to deal with it to this very day. Well, the problem was not with that which was sown. Jesus was sowing the seed of the kingdom. Jesus was sowing the word of God in the hearts of men and women. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Luke chapter 8 and look at verse number 11.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God.
The seed is the word of God. That's what Jesus was sowing. Jesus is emphasizing the condition of the heart when the word of God is brought in contact with it. It may not come the way you expect. The sower will throw his bag over his shoulder. And listen what he do, and pay attention to this. He throws his bag over his shoulder, and he reaches in, he grabs a handful of seeds. They didn't do it the way we do it today. They didn't have this big machinery and all that kind of stuff we got today. Just threw that bag over his shoulder. You reach in, and you go out and you throw it out. Now listen to this. He's throwing the seed out, but the stuff is scattering everywhere. He doesn't intend to sow it over there. Over there is the beaten path. Everybody's walking up and down that path. It's where folks are walking. And they walk so long on this beaten path that it's just, the ground has become so hard, it's not the kind of thing that you're going to break up and cultivate. That ground is useless. And yet that sower is out there, and he grabs some seed, he's throwing it out there, and some of it is falling over there. It was never intended to be sown over there. If you got the wrong kind of heart, my friend, the gospel is not for you. It's not going to do you any good. Now, the problem is, as a gospel minister, I just don't know that. So listen, I throw some seeds your way. I waste some on you. I don't know that, but I'll throw a little bit your way, but really I'm not trying to get you. I'm trying to get in these rows over here. I'm trying to get the good stuff. The point is to get to the good soil. You just happen to be around the soil somewhere over here, and you get some seed thrown your way. Don't know how it's going to come to you, but it gets to you, and then you reveal yourself. You tell on yourself when it gets over there to you. But you were not the intended target. Let me tell you something. If I could look in your heart and I could know that you one of those people, I'd be like, oh, no, I ain't got time for that. Let me go on over here. Now, I don't even want to talk to them. I'm going over here. But somehow, we run into you because maybe sometimes, like I've been in Bible study and I'm sitting there, I got a person who wants to obey the gospel. They want to respond to the gospel. They are eager to study the Bible. And then you bring them in, you sit down. Why is it somebody else comes in with them? Oh, yeah, I'm coming to the study too. Then when you're sitting down studying with this person, guess who keeps messing with them? That person who has no intention of ever responding to the gospel. They are as hardened in their hearts as they can be. And guess what they're going to do to this person? They have more influence than you have at that point in time. They're going to keep them from the gospel. Amen. Listen, I didn't even want to talk to them. I was trying to talk to that soil over there. And I've been sitting right there with people and the other person talk them out of it. Just as I'm talking them into it. Mm. And next thing you know, they say, well, we going to wait. I wasn't talking to we. I didn't start this study with we. I said, that person right there doesn't want this, and it may not be for them. I'm talking to you, and you see it. You need to respond to it right now. Well, you know, I think we ought to wait. And I go further. Look, you all are not going to stand before God together. You're going to stand for you, she or he going to stand for him or her. You're going to have to stand before God, my friend. Don't let this person persuade you when you see what the truth is, what you see what the truth is. Amen. And more than not, I have to leave out of the house a little disappointed that we almost had one, but someone who had a real hard disposition of heart, who would like that rocky, hard ground out there that would not be receptive to the truth, got in the way. Amen. It wasn't nothing wrong with the soil. Wasn't nothing wrong with the seed that was sown. He went out, took a handful of seed, began to cast it out, hoping to get into fertile, prepared soil. But that seed went elsewhere. I tell people sometimes, and I'm not ashamed to say this, this message may not be for you. I'm not looking for you if this message is not for you. I am looking for the good and honest soil. So where you sometimes get disappointed because people don't receive the gospel, I'm just as fine as I can be. When I go in and they reject it, I go out, I know what soil that is, and move on. I don't feel like I did anything. I don't have to feel like ashamed. I don't have to feel disappointed. I just go out. You know, that's what Paul was telling Timothy. Let me come on so I can quit. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. Paul was saying, so I didn't even get into the soil. We got some soils to look at in the upcoming week. So we got some soils to look at. There's some folk just like that. But listen, Paul was telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, I charge you therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the quick and the dead, and his appearing in his kingdom. He said, preach the word. And he said, be urgent, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after his own lust shall he himself teach us, having itching ears, shall be turned away from the truth and return to the faith. Now listen, Paul was telling Timothy, don't worry about success. Mm-hmm. Success is not going to come because the masses are going to respond to this gospel. That's not where the success is going to come. Don't worry about that. He said, you just preach the word. And he said, you be urgent about it. You just keep on standing on that truth at all times, in season, out of season. And he says, you reprove. Reprove when folks are in error. Rebuke when folks are in sin. Exhort when things are going all right, but just keep on standing. And he said, have a disposition of long suffering, because that's what it's going to take when you present the gospel to God's people or to people who need to respond to that gospel. He said, you just do that in a spirit of long suffering. And he said, because that time that has come and now is and will be, when people will not endure, they're not going to hold themselves up against that standard that's going to measure them and find them wanting. They're not going to want to hear it. Are we in that time today or not? Amen. We're in that time today where people don't want to hear it. And when they hear gospel truth, my friends, they will reject that gospel. Why? Because they don't have the heart to it. Amen. They don't have the heart to it. And Satan has done so much to deceive the world today by putting all these false religions out here that you can just about believe anything you want to believe. Our responsibility is to sow the truth. To help you to appreciate who Jesus was. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. And no man comes to the Father but by me. If you want to respond to the gospel, my friends, open up your Bibles and do what they did. Stop letting people tell you to wait on the Holy Spirit. Stop letting folks tell you that you got to have some kind of experience. Stop letting folks tell you that you need to pray through, say sinner prayers, and all something's not in your Bible. Now, something's not in your Bible, you shouldn't be telling it to me religiously. Amen. If it's not in there, don't tell it to me. If you tell it to me, show it to me. Amen. Now, I can show you anything you need to do, but here's what they did in the gospel. Here's what they did in the first century. They heard. You know why? Because Romans 10:17, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why preachers were sent out. And they sent those preachers out. They were preaching what? The gospel of peace, the gospel of good, glad tidings. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach you, which also you receive, and where you stand, by which also you're saved. If ye keep in memory that which I preach, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now it's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe in his death. I believe in his burial. I believe in his resurrection. Therefore, my friend, when I respond to the gospel, I have to mimic what he did. I'm going to have to die to the practice and love of sin. I'm going to have to be buried in a watery grave, just like he was buried in a tomb. I'm going to be buried in a watery tomb. And then I'm going to have to rise, just like he rose the third day. I'm going to have to rise out of that water, a new creature in life. That's Romans 6:3-4. That's Colossians 2:11-12. That's the book, my friends. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you repent of your sins. 2 Corinthians 7:10. That God is sorry that moves you to repentance because of your sins. And you confess it with the mouth of the salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Then you submit to baptism so that you are both active and passive. Not only do you submit, my friends, you're active in that as well, because you got to wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 13:14. And you also got to allow him to wash it, Revelation 1:5. And when you respond to the gospel, Acts 22:16, you will be washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord by the things that you responded to. Now, that's in the book. That's what the eunuch did. That's why them folks did not tarry. When you came forward in that first century, they responded and they baptized you the same night. We got the denomination of the world teaching that baptism is not even essential for your salvation. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. But that's what they're telling you. You already saved by the time you get baptized. It won't hold up in the book. It won't hold up in the book. So if you want to be saved, what kind of soil are you? If you did any of those things, you didn't get saved. You just joined a man-made church.
Amen.
You want to join the church in their Bible. Rather, you want to be added to it. You can't join it. You want to be added to it, you got to respond to the gospel. Acts 2:47. Praise God in heaven, faith for all the people. Lord, added to your church daily, those that are being saved. If you want to come this morning, what kind of soil are you? If you want to be faithful to Jesus, what kind of soil are you? If you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to answer this question. What kind of soil are you? And we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. Now, I haven't even gotten into the meat of the sermon. That's coming in subsequent weeks. We're going to talk about each one of these soils. But I've given you an introduction to it. And you got enough to know where you stand. What kind of soil are you? One ear out the other? This not for you then. But if you hear and you got the heart to respond, then you are the very kind of people Jesus came to save. He wants to save all men, but he knew all men would respond. And we saw it in his life. We saw it in the Apostle Paul's life. We saw it in Peter's life, and we see it today. Everybody will now respond to the message. Will you come this morning and respond to the message? Come on up, Darvin. If you will come and respond, Brother God's going to be here. We're going to sing a song of invitation. We're going to give you an opportunity to render gospel obedience the same way they did in the scripture. Come right now as we stand and as we sing.
What can wash away my sins?